That game.
All right.
And lots of it.
That was strangely arousing.
The hoops happen here.
I like where this is going.
Follow the NBA on ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen.
For inside Husker information and fantasy football advice.
That's one of the things I talked to Bill about.
Follow them on Twitter.
Because I think the time is right for this. And it wasn't always that way.
At Husker _ Nick.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
At ESPN, Hooksy.
It's amazing. Wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at. But if you get me sober, I wouldn't make a ball.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome back into Greggeth and Hooks. Again, happy Friday. The sun is out. It's going to be above freezing today. So, that's all I got for you. But Willie J doing his best to maybe play some jams that are warming it up a little bit.
That was Thew's request.
Oh, I just got chucked under the bus. I hope Nick's
not
listening.
He had to dig into the 8-track archives.
I think I take a lot of heat for my love for Culture Club.
No, I think it's fine.
Speaking of request that wasn't granted, but hopefully in the near future it will, with Dr. Dane Todd here, Nebraska Sports Medicine Orthopedic, I am a little upset. We talked about this last week. We were talking about, I don't know, we got into, gifts. Gifts that you're giving at bowl games.
Bowl game.
We went up, there was like Xboxes and PlayStations and things like that he received. But there was this velour jumpsuit, by the way, that I've seen a picture now because it exists. We've got a picture of it. Yep. It's like sweet. It's got the stripes all the way down. It is awesome. Disappointed he's not in it today. On a day off, by the way. Day off, not in the suit.
Now, here's the deal. Okay. Two reasons. One, currently drowning in kids.
Okay, got it.
Currently drowning in kids.
I'm there. Done.
Two, I quite frankly just didn't make it over to my parents' house to pick it back up, okay. Right? And that's what it boils down to. But I'll tell you what, stand by for next week.
Okay.
And here's one thing. I know you're a guy who loves shoes. Wait until you see the shoes.
God, you're going to bring out some shoes?
Wait until you see the shoes that I found also. I even have options on shoes. What I might do, too, just to really complete the picture of just like horrendous items, right? I might wear the bowling shirt underneath the velour suit.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be sick.
This is going to be awesome.
A bowling shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I've seen a picture of it.
I've got a picture of it. I'll show it to you at the break.
Sweet.
Which bowl game was that?
Alamo Bowl. All this stuff came from Alamo Bowl.
It's an awesome suit, dude. There were like people on Twitter when they heard about it were wanting like to buy this.
Oh, hey, just so everyone knows, tags are still on it.
This
is brand new, baby.
Do you got big lapels?
Vintage.
No, not the suit. Well, there are big lapels on the bowling shirt.
It's a vintage suit. You know, how many pair of shoes did you get, like, going through the university? Like, you still have them all? Like, I'm a big shoe guy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. But.
I mean, I'm the kind of guy who puts on one pair of shoes and I wear it till they die, right? Mm-hmm. And so I definitely have, I don't know, maybe a half dozen pairs of shoes that are still just more or less completely unworn from that. They probably gave us two or three pair of shoes a year.
Yeah,
is what it boiled.
You keep
to.
Them like the inbox, and maybe the kids someday will like grow into them and maybe have them.
Apparently, I still have everything. I thought I had cleaned stuff out.
Mom and Dad got it, don't they?
But Mom was not letting go of some stuff. Apparently, and
proud of her boy.
To her credit, she knew exactly where it was, because I took the kids over there last week for dinner. Great dinner at Mom's house. Always good
Thanks,
to go
Mom.
To grandma's.
Hope she's listening. Thanks, Mom.
Yep, Mom's the best. And I mentioned that I was trying to find that suit because it came up on the on the show, and I was like, but I didn't find. I couldn't find it up in my room, and all she disappears, comes up from the basement.
With a tub.
Oh, and here's the thing, right? My mom is a tiny person, okay? She's 5'10", she might be 5'3 on a good day,
okay,
right? And might weigh 110 pounds, right?
But carries a heavy stick, probably.
And she was manhandling this box up the stairs. It wasn't even like a contest for her. It was just so no awesome. Joke. She doesn't mess around, man. She doesn't mess around.
Now, probably some game jerseys and stuff I'm sure you guys have got. Maybe even one framed. But I know that there is a certain former Husker fullback who I think might have been from Columbus, who scored a couple of touchdowns for the national title game. I know that I went to a garage sale one time, and I got this great Orange Bowl sweatshirt where, you know, he cleared out all of his old stuff. Do you ever have a desire to, or are you going to hang on to it all?
Oh, no. Honestly, my intention is to clear out the old stuff. Quite frankly, none of the stuff fits me anymore, right? Because I'm not nearly as big as I used to be, right? And I don't wear my clothes the way I used to wear them in college, where they were pretty baggy and loose. And
I saw you looking
for the
your cut off jersey.
There. No, not that way. I'll never give up my jerseys. I still have a few. In a perfect world, I would get them all framed, and I've got a couple of them framed. My brother and folks have framed a couple of them for me. I've got my helmet from back in the day and my last pair of game pants and that kind of stuff.
And you get to keep all of that stuff. You don't have to check the helmet back in or anything when you're done?
When you finish your career, at least when I was there,
you got
at the very end, you got the last set of stuff that you owned and used. Now, here's the thing. Right, I was a guy who, you know, playing fullback, I'm not constantly getting my jersey ripped at and torn at and stuff, right? And so guys like Corey Ross, they would sometimes have to get a new jersey at halftime, okay? So those guys, when they were done, they're walking out of there with
tons of ripped jerseys.
Because what are you going to do with that? You can't do anything with it. So at the end of the year, when you're jettisoning all the gear, right, because of the jerseys and things every year after the bowl game, they'd give you your that jersey, right?
With the patch on it and everything.
Yeah, no matter whether you played or not. But those jerseys that were all torn up and things, I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. They just kept those behind, and then those went to those players also. So.
And you technically, this was past the tearaway jersey era, too, back when Rozier would go through 8 jerseys in a game.
Oh, yeah, no, our jerseys were stout, but I mean, still, I still remember the couple of times when I actually touched the ball in the game, right?
We remember those too.
And had to get, yeah, exactly.
Did you go for a pass?
Yeah, every time, right? I'll tell you what, I was genuinely sore the next day from just getting tackled twice, right? Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how Corey and Lucky and
25
those guys
touches
felt.
And
I mean, that is a toll on the body. They talk about running backs breaking down when they're young in the league. There is no question they would have to, because just a couple of now here's the deal, right? Like, I'm not exactly dodging contact.
You were initiating and looking for it.
Should have been a kicker.
The lateral movement. I didn't have the spin move in my repertoire. You know what I'm saying?
Downhill.
There was no glancing blow when I got tackled. Right. It was somebody teeing off on me, and so maybe that was a difference. But gosh,
you
those
know,
guys.
Corey had the nickname Pork Chop while he was
obviously
there. What was your nickname?
Oh, God.
Are you allowed to say it on air?
Yeah. I'll say it on the air. That's fine. Judd Davies did this to me.
Thanks, Judd.
When I was a true freshman. Thank you, Judd. Dr. Davies. He came up with the nickname SpongeBob.
Really?
Yeah. It's because they said that when I was coming off on, we were practicing kickoff return or something, the way my pads lined up on me, everything, I was like this perfect rectangle as I was walking off the field. So I became known as Sponge for the rest rest of my time there, or at least until those guys graduated, and then I don't think I had any more after that.
Hey, Dame, before we ask you the next, we'll go to the next with Coach Miles and those things, and I want to dig into that a little bit. Website. Tell us about the website, how people go there. I was thinking call, but the website is very interactive, how to get a hold of you for consultations.
Drop
it for them.
Yeah, so the website's NebraskaOrtho.com. Yeah, we've got all the information you need about our office and the procedures we perform on there. You can look up the different surgeons and physicians that we have in the office. You can even make appointments through the website or our numbers on there. It's 402-488-3322 to call in, and we can get you set up. We always have guys with some open slots, and I keep open appointments on my schedule every single day, so we try to get everybody in as quick as we can.
Awesome and sweet bio pictures, by the way. If you ever get a chance, go on there, go to the bio pictures. They are sweet.
Some good looking folks there. You know what I'm saying?
You doing a Heisman pose or anything? No.
That would be sweet though.
This one's awesome.
Yeah, stand by. I might switch mine out for the velour suit next week. You know what I'm saying? You think that'll increase the traffic there?
Yeah. All right. Won't have any open slots anymore.
Oh, that's so awesome. So give it a visit if you're looking for some consultation or maybe an appointment. Go to the website there. Give them a call. Hey, I want to dig in this next topic a little bit because I think this is, you and I talked during the break about this a little bit. Coach Miles podcast comes out. There's been a lot of focus on the point of, at the end of the day, won't matter, $2.5 million, I'm going to be a millionaire type comment. There are people that are on both sides of the fence here, the ones that don't care. It is what it is. It was in context, by the way, the way he said, if you listen to the podcast. Give me your take, first of all, on when you... Have you heard the podcast? I listened to the whole thing.
I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I heard the entire portion where they were discussing that. So I have all the context of his statements.
Awesome. So when you heard it, and then obviously you've heard the positive, don't worry about it, or the negative side of it. When you went through that, give me your take. One from a fan, and then two from an athlete.
Sure. So. Those are two different takes. And it just like you guys were talking about earlier on the show, it depends greatly on where your baseline is for Tim Miles. Okay. Mm-hmm. So taking the entire conversation with the context it is in, he is definitely trying to make a little bit of light of the situation if he can, right? Mm-hmm. And point out that I think he was almost saying it in a way that he could also say, listen, I don't worry about the money. I don't worry about any of that. I worry about coaching basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's what I actually want to do. And his way of saying it was, you know, I no matter what happens, I'm still going to be a millionaire, but I'm doing what I want to do and what I've always wanted to do, and that's what's the most important part of it. And that's, I think, what he was trying to do with the comment. Now, just like you were saying, if you're a fan, right, and you're spending money to go to these games and all these things, and then you're seeing coaches who are getting paid millions of dollars a year to do it, where, you know, the vast majority of the rest of us don't have millions of dollars, you know, a year we're getting paid, and we're spending money and doing donations and everything else to participate in the athletic side of things, that it can be a little tone deaf, unfortunately, at the time, right? Nobody wants to think about the fact that, yeah, you might get fired, but at the end of the day, you've got a golden parachute coming at you. From a player's perspective, from what I've seen and heard, right, it seems like the players all really like Coach Miles, right? It seems like he is a player's style coach, right? I'll bet you they are falling on the side of, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, understanding the context of it, knowing it was, you know, said lightheartedly and not meant to be a in your face, I'm still getting paid, right? And so I don't see it affecting their locker room situation really at all because of his comments. I think more it's just the optics of it, the timing of it, from a fan and donor and booster perspective than anything else.
Yeah, now I asked you that question because I kind of set you up a little bit with this, because obviously you've lived through some comments or some gestures in your tenure at Nebraska Coach Callahan, right?
Yep.
There was an incident at Oklahoma when he walked off the field. I think he used the word hillbillies.
Yes. Right? It might have been prefaced by something, but I can't remember what that is.
Yep, but it was hillbillies.
Yep.
And then I forget, it was a home game, I believe, when he did the – it was a throat slash.
The quote unquote "I've had it up to here" gesture, which looks shockingly like a throat slash.
But we all know
slash.
That, like when you're up to here, it's like the hand, the whole hand.
Yeah,
wave.
The fingers. You got the four slash, fingers doing.
Yeah, the throat slash is a thumb.
Yeah, and if
raking
you,
across the throat.
If you see the clip too, it's I'll never forget what it looks like, because he looks and points at one end of the field, back at the other end of the field, and then there it comes across. Yeah.
Right. So go back, remember those moments, post that.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Coach Miles making a comment, how it affects players, how deep it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Go back through that thought process. What was that like? Because obviously that was a controversial type comment out on a road game from your head man.
Right.
Controversial gesture at home.
Mm-hmm.
front of your fan base.
Right.
I believe that was, it was on national TV.
Yeah, it was.
That was caught.
Oh, for sure.
What is it like post that in the locker room? Because now this is going to, it, regardless of what people think, it falls back into the locker room.
Right.
On top of players.
Right. So, we'll take them one at a time.
Okay,
the Oklahoma one, okay?
Yep.
So there were a bunch of other things that happened during
Absolutely.
That game.
Was that where they were, we were warming up and, and one of the guys with the rifles for Oklahoma got run into by one of the offensive linemen? Was it the same game?
The same game.
Okay.
That was my, my old buddy Darren DeLone. So that happened, right? And we knew about that. And then we had the Hillbillies comment afterwards. And quite frankly, we got a mud hole stomped into us.
Well, and we didn't kick
game.
The field goal just to go, not to get blanked.
Because Steve Grewald had like a 50-yard run
to get us the only fullback trap Coach Callahan ever called. Steve Grewald breaks it for 50. My buddy Steve Grewald, by the way, out there in Scotia, Nebraska right there, if you're listening, bud, to beat the spread, which is great, right? And so there are, you know, it, when a game like that happens, you got to try to find some sort of positive out of the thing, right? And so I'll be real honest with you. None of the players cared about the hillbilly comment at all, right? That was a non-event to us, right? In fact, we were all giggling at the fact that, well, don't get me wrong, we're not laughing at the fact we got stomped, right? But looking back on it, right, I'm glad we kicked the field goal because then we caused everybody who bet on Oklahoma to lose and everybody who bet on Nebraska to win, right? And so high fives. Yeah. High
prevented
fives all around,
shutout,
guys.
Too.
Exactly. Prevented the shutout, okay? The DeLone thing's an entirely different animal for another show. But then when you get to the throat slash thing, again, nothing that is directly related to any of the players, and that was Coach Callahan being frustrated with the officials and with the refs, okay? And if anything, you're on his side of that deal as a player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't affect the locker room in any way except everybody's, well, there might have been pictures put up in the locker room of the throat slash with his explanation that might have been written on that said, yeah, that's definitely not a throat slash or something to that effect, right? By, you know, some of the players who might have been a little more disgruntled about the whole Callahan situation. But at the end of the day, neither one of those things, I think, really affected anything that was going on in that locker room because he's not calling out specific players. He's not demeaning the way we're playing or our performance. None of those things are happening. And so he's really just frustrated at other situations that aren't really player related right there.
I just always find it interesting when undue stuff like that happens because ultimately coach has to make a response to it, but players end up getting questions now about it because people want to turn things like that into bigger stuff.
Yeah.
There must be something in the locker room. There must be something going on with coach and it's a big, turns into a big story like this one.
Right.
It's turned into a big story.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Well, you saw, you know, the same thing with Bo when you would see his antics toward the officials, too, that, you know, they started questioning, you know, is he connecting with his players? And if you ask anybody that played for Pelini, you know, he'd go to bat for his players. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd run through walls for him. So his antics toward the officials and bad calls or his disdain with the press.
Was it the snot or the slobber?
Right. Yeah. Had nothing to do with the players. I don't know. How did Callahan connect with you guys as players? Did it seem like it was more of a position and a job for him, or was there, you know, I don't think he's listening, or did he genuinely care for you guys,
and
you know, in like an Osborne, you know, Solich type of way?
Yeah, he had a obviously with his background in the NFL, he was a much more NFL style coach than he was a college style coach, right? It was much more of a business and next man up style of mentality for him than he was a, you know, let's really get to know everybody and know them well. Coach Callahan and I had a great relationship when we were there because.
So you never chucked your helmet at him?
I never threw my helmet at coach. I don't think I've ever thrown anything at any coach. I hope I haven't.
If I did, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if I did, I apologize. I've wanted to.
It was in a fit of rage.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
You know, we had heard, you know, that there might have been a player where he had to duck a helmet or something coming at him. But, you know, that's, You know how rumors are out there.
I'm not sure I ever heard that rumor.
That's
even.
Team athletics, probably. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It happens sometimes. But it's a Coach Callahan got along well enough with the players, but it was almost one of those things where if you were in the good graces, right, and you showed up and you did your work and you could be trusted and counted on, like, you had a great relationship with them. Guys who weren't able to be trusted and weren't able to be counted on weren't getting any slack from him. And honestly, that fit me to a T.
Yep.
So that worked out just fine.
Show up, go to work, do your job, move on.
I never had a problem with the guy.
All right, let's do this. Let's take one more break before we come back. We'll wrap up the show. We're gonna there's a basketball game tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Pinnacle Bank. Number 15 Purdue comes. We'll break that down a little bit, and I have talk about maybe some questions about player motivation. In situations like that, you've been through those situations where it's, how do I get motivated? There are four big games ahead of us. We have seniors that we're going to be playing their last four game or so stretch with the Big Ten tournament coming forward. Talk about that. Thanks for listening to Greg at the Hooks.